All right, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Judges. Judges chapter 7. You're looking at verse 17 through verse 22, but especially verse 17 and 18. And the title of my message is simply this: Look on Christ. Look on Christ. The scripture here says that he... This is speaking of Gideon. And Gideon said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and they and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, every time I preach the gospel to you, I determine always to show you Christ. It is my point and privilege always to preach to you Christ. Now, I can go any place in this book, and it is always my intent, because it is the intent of the Holy Spirit, to show us Christ in all the scriptures. Jesus said that of himself. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures what? Things concerning himself. And this text is no different. Here, Gideon is given to us as a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gideon was chosen of God to save Israel. Israel was under the captivity of the Midianites. And you remember, he came to him. Oh, Gideon's over here hiding barley and wheat in the threshing floor. And here comes Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, and saying, Behold, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon looked around and says, Who? Who? He said, I'm talking to you, Gideon, mighty man of valor. By you I will save Israel. And now it had come to pass. The time had come. There was gathered together, God had gathered together 32,000 men of Israel. It was time that Israel should be saved. And you remember what happened just before this. Gideon, God said, that's too many men. And he told Gideon, he said, Gideon, go out there and tell those men, if they're scared, go home. 22,000 men left. And there were only 10,000 left. And the Lord said, no, that's still too many. He said, you send them down that little pond down there and get a drink. And anybody that looks up and cups the hand and drinks the water, he said, you send them home. But everybody that laps like a dog at the water, he said, you keep them. And you remember that only 300 of them lapped like a dog. What a picture of God's people. I like to remember Todd's message on that a long time ago. All dogs go to heaven. You know, use that Canaanite woman as an example of that. The Lord said, is it meet to give children's bread to dogs? And she said, truth, Lord. I'm a dog, truth. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And he said, I've not found so much of faith in Israel. God's people are like that. This is a picture of God's people. And you know, old Gideon, he still was somewhat afraid. And back over in verse 9, God tells him. God tells Gideon, he says, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered into thine hand. But if thou fear, go down to Purah, thy servant, with thy Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward thy hand shall be strengthened to go down unto the host. You know, he went down there, and then those two guards that he met, he saw, one of them had a dream, had a vision. It was a barley loaf rolling down a hill and killing them all. And the other guy said, I know who that is. That's Gideon. That's Gideon. And you know, Gideon was strengthened by hearing that. He was confident by hearing that. But I want you to see that him going down is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ as he went down to Gethsemane. Our Lord was troubled concerning what he had to do, and he needed to be strengthened. And our Lord shows him at Gethsemane, the Son of God, knowing what he was about to accomplish, knowing that he would bear the sins of God's elect, that he who is righteous and knew no sin must go down into the pit, that he must go to the cross and be made sin for us. And listen, we by nature are sinners. To call me a sinner, we take that even those of us who understand it, we take that even lightly. But consider him who knew no sin, who did no sin, who thought no sin, who felt no sin ever, was about to be made sin for us. Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." He was troubled about the victory that he must accomplish. And our Lord sent him to Gethsemane, and you know what he said? He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But in obedience, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He was about to offer himself and bear our sins in his own body, and the justice of God was about to pour and rain down on him without mercy. I can't imagine that terror. Can you? The scripture says that the deity in human flesh sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. This was so troubling to the Lord Jesus Christ. He struggled at night in the garden. Friends, and I cannot understand that because I have no idea what it is like to endure the wrath of God. And thank God I'll never know what it's like to endure the wrath of God. But you know what happened in that garden? He was strengthened, wasn't he? He set his face like a flint to go to the cross, to go to Calvary. And so as God strengthened Gideon to do the work, to save Israel, let us consider also our Lord Jesus Christ, who God strengthened in order to save his people. The scripture says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me," to what? "Do thy will." And it was the will of God that he should be made sin for his people. It was the will of God that he alone should bear our guilt and the shame of our sins and suffer the wrath of God. And so being found in fashion as a man, Paul said, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so now strengthened, here's Gideon in our text. He is now strengthened, and he comes to the men having the plan given him of God. He has the plan of salvation for Israel. And he says this, "Look on me." Everybody, this is the same man who was afraid, who was scared, but now he is strengthened. And here he is, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says first. Here's the plan. Look at me. Here's the plan. Look on me. And Gideon was faithful and worshiped God, and he was faithful and obedient. Gideon then tells these men what is necessary for victory. And the first thing that is necessary is for them to look at him, that they should behold what he does. And what does he say? "Look on me and do likewise." Listen, boys, you look at me, you mark what I do, and then you do the same. You do the same. And we will win the victory. We'll win the victory. After he sees his work done by these soldiers, after they had done that, he is now strengthened and determined as to what needs to be done. Now, what a blessed picture this is of the Lord Jesus. You know, our Lord Jesus told his disciples the same thing, didn't he? He told them, "Look on me. Look to me. Look on me. Behold me. This is the way sinners are saved. Looking to Jesus Christ." This is how all Israel is saved. looking to Jesus Christ. He says, look on me. Matter of fact, before this in prophecy, he said this, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Now I want you to look at that. He doesn't say, look at my doctrine. He says, look at me. Look to me. In other words, it's personal. Friends, the gospel is not just a doctrine to be learned. It is a person. It is a person. Jesus Christ is the gospel. I know men that study this gospel. They study this book and they have no idea who Christ is. Christ says, look at me. Look on me and be saved. You must look to Christ. You must look to his work, to his person. And by looking on him, men are saved. Isn't this seen throughout Scripture? Can you come up with so many illustrations of this? I think of the brazen serpent. What a picture that is. You remember that brazen serpent, how the children of Israel were bitten by those fiery serpents. And God told Moses, make a brass serpent and put it on a pole. And he told the people that were bitten, look and what? Live. Look and live. That was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said that of himself. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's a picture of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ made this very plain. He says, the Lord didn't come to save everybody. That should be plain, isn't it? I'm going to give you his plain word. Now listen carefully. Jesus said, I came not to call who? The righteous. Well, who did you come to call? But I came to call sinners to repentance. This evening, if you are righteous in yourself, if you are trying to add your work to his, Christ did not come to call you. He came to call sinners. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into the world to save who? Sinners. Sinners. This call about the serpent of brass, who is that to? Was that for everybody? No, it was only to those who were bitten. What good would it be to look to the serpent if you didn't have a need, if you weren't bitten? It would have done you no good. You see, this call was only to those who are bitten by the sting of sin. Only those who have the sentence of death in themselves. Only those who are bound to sin. Only those who cannot save themselves. Only those who have nothing to offer. Those are the ones that are called to look to Christ. Sinners. Listen, am I speaking to sinners? That's who the gospel is about. Christ says to sinners, look on me. Look to me and be saved. Look to me. Over in Isaiah, I'll read it to you, Isaiah 55, you know this very well. Ho, everyone that, what? Thirsteth. Come ye to the waters. Anybody thirsty? The waters of Christ. Come and be cleansed. Come and be refreshed. Come and bathe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come and wash yourselves. Isn't that what the scripture says? These are they that washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Come now, you are filthy. Come and wash yourselves in the blood of Jesus Christ. It says this, come you to the waters, yea, you that have no money. Listen, he's talking to bankrupt sinners. Sinners got nothing to pay. You got nothing to pay to God? That's an invitation. Come on in. You got nothing to pay. Come on in. Come you that have no money, buy and eat. Yea, buy wine and milk. Not just anything, the best of things. Wine for joy, milk for nourishment. Yea, without money and without price. You got something to spend? He don't want you. Only one's going to look to Christ, so he's got nothing. You see, tonight, I'm looking to Christ because I got nothing. That text is talking to me. I'm thirsty. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry for him? Do you need him? See, that's the people he calls. Look on me. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man. See, he's calling wicked people. He's calling the unrighteous people to do what? Wallow in their wickedness? No, forsake their wickedness. And he's not just talking about evil deeds and lust. He's talking about their religion. Forsake your thoughts and how you think you should come to God. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. He might need mercy. Then look on him. Come to him. And listen, he will abundantly pardon. These are abundantly wicked people that are being called because there's abundant pardon. If you come to Christ, you say, well, I don't need abundant pardon. I just need a little pardon. I don't know anything about that. I need abundant pardon because I'm an abundant sinner. And that's exactly what he provides. Free mercy. Because I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know I have nothing with which to pay for my crimes against God. Therefore, my only hope then is to hear the voice of the Son of God saying this, look on me, look on me. I hope you hear him tonight. I want you to hear his voice. I want him to speak to you, not me. I want him to talk to you. And I want him to say what Gideon said, look on me, look on me. Look to me by faith. That's how you look to it. You look to him by faith. Now, what do we look to him for? Now, he's calling men to look, calling sinners to look to him. Now, why would he call us to look on him? First of all, because there are two things we need. Two things Christ provides that every sinner needs. Listen, the first one is righteousness. Righteousness. Look on me. For what? Righteousness. Isn't that what God requires? God requires perfect obedience, perfect righteousness. In order for you or me or any man to be accepted of God, you and I must be holy. Holy. Holy, without sin, perfect before God in order to be. What does it say in Psalm 24? Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who? The scriptures don't leave you vague. It says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, perfect action and perfect motive. Now, let me just tell you, I'm going to ruin the surprise. That's none of us. Now, you got it? Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? None of us. Our hands are filthy and our hearts are filthy. This is only speaking of one man. The one that's calling you to look on him. Jesus Christ. He's the only man that ever ascended into the presence of God. The only man of his own merit, of his own worth, of his own value, ascended to the throne of God. And I like that in Revelation when it said he took the book. You know what? He took that book and God said nothing. You know why? He earned it. He's the only one that earned it. And false religion, they tell you, they tell you God's like some grandpa in the sky. Some Santa Claus looking who's naughty and nice. That's how they view God. As nothing more as one, when your grandpa and your grandma, usually these are the most kind people in the world and they overlook everything, don't they? They just kind of overlook everything. That's how they think God is. He's just going to overlook everything. If you just try your best, that's what God wants. He wants your best. No, He doesn't want your best. I know this about my children. If they have a task to do, if I give them something to do, or a teacher gives them something to do, or somebody, and I watch them, and they are really struggling. They're not lazy about it. They're really working hard. They're really trying. And then they fall short of whatever it is. You know what? I'm still proud of them. I'm still proud of them. They did their best. You know, they didn't make it. We can maybe work through it, try to find something else that they're able to do. But God's not like us, friends. He's not like us. God's not some kindly father. Matter of fact, I'm a sinful father, aren't I? My children attest to that. They know me. Because we don't demand perfection, but listen to me, God does. God does. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Now you figure out how holy God is, and that's how holy you and I must be to be accepted of God. He will not accept anything less than His holy perfection. So then, who of us could attain that? I'm going to save you some brain power. None of us. None of us. We all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. Come short of the glory of God. No matter who, no difference between any man. I like the Bible, friends, is a great leveler, isn't it? It just, I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care how much power or influence you have in this world. I don't care if you're a bum on the street or a king of a country. Listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scriptures are plain. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. From the top of our head to the sole of our foot is nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I'll tell you this, we judge men by things we see, don't we? You see a man, he's rich, he's successful, he's smiling all the time, looks real happy. What do we say? That guy's successful. We see a man dressed in religious robes, and he's always doing good, and he's always feeding the homeless, and he's doing good deeds. What do men say? Well, that guy's a good man. And you see a guy over here on the street, and he's a bum. See those guys out there rioting? What do we say about them? They're looting. They're shooting people. What do we say? Those are bad people. You see, we always seem to judge men based on what we see. God does not judge based on what He sees just on the outside. Now, He does judge based on what we do. But I promise this, He goes deeper. He looks at the heart of men. And you know what God says about every man? From that successful man, that religious man, that riotous man, that murderous man, you know what God says? Sinner, 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 guilty, guilty, guilty. We're always trying to find people worse than we are so we can feel better about ourselves. Aren't we? We be honest. That's what we try to judge. We judge men upon the outside and we try to find somebody worse than we are just so we can feel better about ourselves. But the Bible levels us all out. We are all sinners. And what do all sinners need? Righteousness. We need right. Listen, we're going to face God, friends. We're going to face God. So many people worried about who's going to be the next president. So many people worried about what's going to happen to this country. You should be worried about facing God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. And if you are not as holy as God, you will be cast into eternal hell forever. So who cares what happens to this country then? Are you going to really matter? Is it really going to pique your interest? No. So if I'm to be righteous, then this is the only conclusion Scripture gives me, is that somebody else must do it for me. Somebody else has to be righteous in my place, or else I could never be righteous. That's the whole purpose of Christ, saying this, look on me. Look what I have done. And you know what he did? He came in as a man and obtained perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness. I'm going to read you this from Isaiah chapter 42. You remember God talking about his servant. Behold, my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. The one that should not fail. God says this about him. In verse 21, he says, the Lord is well pleased, listen, for his righteousness' sake. He shall magnify the law and make it honorable. You know, the law's got a purpose. The purpose of the law for us is only to convict of sin. But that purpose of the law was for his obedience. That he should obey that law in our stead. And that all he represented obeyed that law in him. Every dot, every tittle of that law, every jot and tittle of that law, he obeyed. And everyone in him obeyed that law. And so righteousness cannot come by me. It must come by him. Therefore, we who are sinners must look unto Jesus because he is the only perfect and righteous man. Jesus, who was made flesh. He was made flesh that he might do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Be righteous. Holy. And so Jesus now says this, you that need righteousness, look on me. Tonight, you need righteousness. You need righteousness. Anyone need righteousness. Don't look here. He said, look on me. Look on me. And all who look on him have righteousness. You know, our Lord Jesus said this, look unto me, all you are weak and heavy laden. You trying to earn, there is nothing more weary than trying to earn righteousness. That's what the Jews were always trying to do. Paul said, those are my kinfolk. He said, they've got a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're going about seeking to earn their own righteousness. But look, Paul said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He fulfilled the law for righteousness. Why are you trying to obey the law for righteousness? He's fulfilled the law for righteousness. He's an end to the law, made an end to it. And so you that are weak and heavy laden, trying. And listen, I'm talking to believers as well. Listen to me. How many times are we caught trying to earn his favor? You sin. When we sin, oh, the guilt floods our soul. And what are we turning around doing? We're trying to make up for what we did. We're spending all our time trying to earn his favor, trying to get back into his good graces. We start reading our Bible and thinking, oh, if I just read enough, surely, what are you doing? Jesus said, stop. If you're not reading this looking on me, you're not doing it right. Look on me. I've already earned your righteousness. I've already given you righteousness. Stop trying to earn it. That's just burdensome. And he said, I'll give you what? Rest. You know what rest is? It means to stop working. There is nothing more relaxing than to stop working. Just stop. Stop. I can't stand it when people tell me, I said, somebody claims to be a Christian, they said, how you doing? He said, just trying to do the best I can. You know, I'm trying to be a good Christian. Stop trying. And Jesus said, stop trying, look on me. Look on me. We rest in His righteousness. To look on Him by faith. Listen, we are given all the righteousness we need. All the righteousness we need. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in this time. Stop working for it. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, listen, without the law. Without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. And listen, unto all and upon all them that believe. Unto all imputed righteousness. And imparted righteousness by the new nature. He has given us the righteousness of God. You remember those two men went to pray in the temple? The Pharisee and the publican. When that man, the Pharisee, stood up to pray, everybody said, oh, look, there's a righteous man. And then they looked at poor old publican. They said, what a low-life scumbag. But you know, the Pharisee was trusting in his own righteousness. And that scumbag laying there on the ground, no doubt he was a scumbag. He was probably the worst guy in the whole town. Everybody knew it. But he was convicted of his sin. And this man, he not only needed righteousness, this man noticed he needed something else. What'd he say? Lord, be merciful. That word merciful is propitiatus. What does that mean? I need a sacrifice. So Christ says, look on me for all your righteousness. And secondly, what do we need? We need an offering to God. We don't need just righteousness to clothe us. We need someone to pay for our sin. And Jesus Christ says this, you need a sacrifice? You need a sacrifice? Look on me. Look to me. Look to me. He prayed for a sacrifice. Be propitious. God cannot give us righteousness unless He punish our sins. What good would that do? If He gave me a righteousness, I'd just contaminate it. He also had to remove my sin. Pay my sin debt. Look unto Jesus, you who need a sacrifice. And I'm telling you this, just stop trying to sacrifice things for God. He don't want your stuff. You know, men give money and they say, look at my sacrifice. What a piece of garbage sacrifice. God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your time. He doesn't want all that stuff. That's not going to pay for one sin. You can give your life. You can be a monk. You can give yourself, your body to be burned. You can burn your children unto God. And that won't pay for one sin. What you need is a holy sacrifice. And you know what? The only one that can do that is the same one provides righteousness. Jesus Christ is the only one who has made a perfect sacrifice. Perfect sacrifice to God for the sins of His people. Notice this. Go back to your text. Look at this. In Gideon, old Gideon, he said, look on me and do what I do. Do what I do. When I come, he said, behold, when I come to the, listen to this, outside the camp. Let me ask you this question. Where was Christ sacrificed? Outside the camp. Now imagine this. Gideon, he was outside this camp. He was surrounded. 100 men on this side, 100 men on the other side, 100 men at the top, one at the bottom, and they were surrounding this Midianite camp. 300 men. Had them all surrounded on every side there. And you know, they weren't in the camp, were they? Now, what military, earthly military engagement would ever tell you attack from the outside of the camp? You know what? You got to go into the camp to fight, don't you? But this is a battle won not in the camp, but outside the camp, because it was a battle, it was a miraculous battle. It was a battle that God was going to do, perform, because the victory was not of men. It was to be won of God, and it was to be won outside the camp. Friends, behold, that is a picture of the victory of Christ. Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Begin your reading there in verse 10. Paul said this. He said, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Listen, those Jews had an altar. They had that brass altar inside the temple. That's where all the sacrifices was made. But Paul says here, we have an altar, but it's not the altar according to the law. Our altar was the one taken outside the camp. Jesus Christ was our altar. And he said, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood was brought into sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned where? Without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. This altar we have is Christ. The Jews had an altar in Jerusalem, and once they burned those animals, what did they do with those animals' bodies and blood and dung? They took it outside. They took it outside the camp and they burned it. Believers in Jesus Christ, we have an altar not made with brass or gold, but we have not an altar in the camp of the law, but an altar of Jesus Christ who was taken outside the city and crucified. He was taken out like the dead bodies of those beasts and cast out like dung. And he suffered and burned under the wrath of God for our sins. It was there outside the camp that Gideon broke that clay vessel. Now look at this. Go back to your text here. Outside the camp. He's outside the camp with his men, telling them what we're going to do. And so verse 19, so Gideon and 100 that were with him came outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle of the watch, and they had newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps that were in their hands. And the trumpets in their right hand they did blow withal, and they cried at the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You get the picture here. They got a little lamp in their hands here in this left hand, and in their right hand they got that horn. And they blow the trumpet and they break the pitcher, and inside that pitcher is a light, and then the light shines. That's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of his broken body. What did he do first when he came into the world? He blew the trumpet. He preached the gospel. And then what? He broke his body as a sacrifice. And what happened after he broke his body? The light of the gospel shined forth, and every page of this book became illuminated. You know, I can understand this book in light of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I understand this book. You who believe in Christ, you that look on him, look on him. What are we looking at? We're looking at his righteousness, and we're looking at that broken body. We're looking at that broken body. As Gideon broke that lamp and the light shined out, even so Christ had broken his body, being crucified for us, offering for us, and that light was shined out, and the Lord Jesus Christ was broken for us. He was made sin and broken by God's wrath. And before he died, he made a shout, didn't he? What was his shout? Tell me what he said. It is finished. What a trumpet blast. What a blow. What a blow of the horn of righteousness. It is finished, he said with a loud voice. It's finished. It's done. Look on me and do what I do. What is that? He preached the word. Preached his body, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness. And he showed forth. Salvation was accomplished. He laid down his life for his sheep, and he rose again from the dead and sits on the throne of God. There was a message on sermon audio, the only priest that ever sat down. What a wonderful message. Those priests always busy, always sacrificing, always working. You know how tiresome and laborsome that law was? I tell you what, you just try to read what they have to do and you'll fall asleep. It's laborsome to read through that and to understand all that and have to do it day after day after day and never sitting down. But this priest did it one time and he sat down. He died and God raised him from the dead and sat him down on the throne of heaven. You know where he's at right now? He's sitting down. He's sitting down. Oh, this is, you know, how many times you get up at night and just do this? Oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen. He's not doing that. He sat down. He's finished. His work's done. It's being done. He's not worried. Christ is sat down. What does that mean? That righteousness you needed and that sacrifice you needed, he said this, look at me. Look at me. Is it done? Is it finished? It's done. It's finished. The work has been accepted by God. That's important, isn't it? I don't care if you accept it or not. You know, men run around saying, accept Jesus. I don't care if you accept him or not. God accepted him. That work's finished. And I don't care what men say. That work's done. Therefore, all who know him, all who look on him and believe on him, I want you to be comforted by this. If you can get a hold of this, you go to bed. You close your eyes. And if you don't wake up tomorrow, it'll be just fine. If you got this, you got it all. Because of him, we are accepted of God. But you don't know my sin. No, but he does. And he already died for it. What are you worried for? He's done it. He's done it. You're accepted because he's accepted. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are made perfect in the eyes of God, and all our sins are gone. All our sins are pardoned. All our sins are forgiven. All our sins, pay attention, are forgotten of God. I will not remember your sins. But I can't forget. It's all right. You're not the judge. I am. And I said, I will not remember your sins anymore. He said in Isaiah 44, God said this, remember these. He's talking about wicked men. Remember these. Why would we remember wickedness? Because that's who we are. You remember who you are. It's good for you and me to remember who we are. How often does God make you remember who you are? Remember who you are. O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. Listen, I formed thee, I made you, I created that new nature inside of you. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Listen, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. You remember who you are, and I'll remember you. I won't forget you. I won't forget you. Why? I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. And you know, one of my favorite passages in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20, the Lord said this, "In those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be," how many? Come on, tell me, how many? None. "And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found." Why? "For I will pardon whom I reserve." Well, who in the world is that? Those who look on Him. Look on Him. Now you listen, you who have looked on Him. Do you not still look on Him? Right now. When He says, "Look on me," what do you want to do? I want to look on Him. I want to look. And I don't want to take my eyes off Him. And notice what, go back to your text. I'll show you one more thing. We'll have to put an end to it just a second. One more thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 17 through Gideon says, "Look on me," and what? "Do likewise. You that have the righteousness of God, you that have He made the sacrifice for your sins, you who are pardoned, forgiven, what is His command to you? Look on me and what? Do what I do." What did he do? Okay, look what Gideon did. Gideon, he blew the trumpet, he broke the pitcher, and the light shined. What are we to do but preach the gospel of His broken body and the light of His gospel and resurrection? What else we do? Isn't that what He did? Didn't He preach the gospel? What do we do? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I know this. This could represent us following His example of giving our lives as a sacrifice. He gave His life as a sacrifice. Jesus said, you know, if you don't forsake all and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Surely we can see that in the picture here. But I think it's better to be seen in the gospel. This is the gospel. They held forth that light, didn't they? What are we doing? Is that light you or him? It better not be you. If it's you, it's not a light at all, is it? No. We blow the trumpet. What did he say? It's finished. What do we say? It's finished. What is our hope? Our hope is that he broke his body. Our hope is that he gave the light of life in our hearts and that the gospel of Jesus Christ shined forth. Go and do likewise. And listen, when you do this, I know this, you'll suffer. Friends, I'm telling you, I think it's coming faster and faster than I ever imagined it would, but the church is really headed for great suffering. It's been a long time, hasn't it, since the church has been, in this country at least, it's been a long time since the church has suffered persecution, real persecution. And friends, the time is coming. They're already banning us from worshiping. In certain places, they're trying to, using pandemics and fear and all kinds of things. Listen, this government is not our king. And we're to obey this government so long as it does not interfere with the commands of Christ. And I'll tell you this, when we obey Christ, this world will persecute us. Why? It persecuted him. Listen, go and do likewise. Is it not just reasonable for us to offer our bodies? Isn't that what it says? It's your reasonable service, isn't it? Reasonable service. So what do we do? Look on him. For what? All, now that's a very important word, all our righteousness and all our redemption. Do you look on him? And what else? As he preached the gospel, let us also preach the gospel. You know what happened those Midianites? They turned and killed each other. You know what? Israel didn't even have a sword in their hands. You know what? We don't have a sword, do we? We're not here beating people over the head with this thing. We're not going to make anyone come to Christ. Well, I'm not going to trick anyone to come into Christ. No. God brings His people. God draws His people. God saves His people. God keeps His people. And the rest of this world just turn on themselves. They'll eat themselves up. Leave them alone. Let us be about our Father's business, preaching the Word. And I pray tonight that you would hear Him. Look on me. Look on me.